Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Just to remind you, because it's just a good reminder, the things that the Lord has been telling us about believing what He says, right? Believing what He says. Because it is obviously, it's very good that the Lord speaks to us, right? It's very good that the Lord speaks to us. It's very good that we hear. And then, but obviously, right, just... good, being good that the Lord speaks to you, and also being good that you hear, are the two great things. But you want to keep going, right? Because the fourth soil believes, right? So you know what? Let's jump right into it. And I love the way things have been continue to go back to David. I really like that even today I was just that's why I was actually a little bit late. Because I was just sharing with two folks just about on the same topic, and they actually asked me that if that's what I was going to share tonight was on David, and I said, well, no, I don't think so. I mean, that's just what it's been. But I like it that he keeps bringing it back to that, because there's so many things that he can bring to our eyes and enlighten us with just the things that knowing. I mean, it's awesome, you know, the David fought Goliath. That's awesome, right? The victory was great, but knowing why or how he was able to do that, right? That's better, right? To understand that it was the Lord really enlightening his heart so that he could see. He saw a lot of things. He saw that he was a man of covenant. He saw and he heard the Lord, right? The Lord was training him, right? While Goliath was training for war, David was hearing Jesus, right, in the field. So it's just good. A lot of good stuff. So let's jump right in. Let's go to John chapter 1 and verse number 12. John chapter 1, verse number 12. And actually, you know what? Verse number 11 better, right? John chapter 1 and verse number 11. Verse number 11, he came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. And that's interesting because the New King James says right. Right here it says power, but it's good. That's actually very good. Right is really good. That's the main thing of what he's saying here. The reason why I like power is because if the word is power, right, you can see that within the context that it means right, but it could mean other things used somewhere else, right? But it definitely here in the context, right, it says that to as many as received him, and obviously from what we even started at the service talking about, to as many as received him, that means that they heard. Right? You can't receive Jesus, obviously, without hearing, without having faith, right? So you heard, you put your faith in him, right? You put your faith in him, and he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And that's really awesome, right? That to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, even to them that believe on his name. So the really the context here that's really good in that word power is it's really cool because it's the context of it is the right to reign. The right to reign. Right? He gave us the power, and I'll explain the reigning part to you in a minute. But to as many as received him, which means that they heard, they accepted his truth, and they received what he said, they believed what he said. So to as many as believe what he says, right? And you'll see, to as many as believe what he says, to them, to those, he makes them righteous. Right? So Abraham heard God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham heard God, he believed God, and God called him righteous, right? Here it's saying that to as many as believed him, right? To as many as believed them, to them he gave the power. power, right, to become sons of God. But what the power there, that's why it's so good to understand that it's the right. He gave them the right because the right that was given them, right, was the righteousness of God, right? The right that was given them was the righteousness of God. So the awesome thing about let's not go to righteousness because I want to jump right over there. But to as many as received him, to as many as believed what he said, to them he gave the power or the right to become sons of God. Now we've seen it before that to those that are sons, right? Those that are sons or have been given the right to be sons of God, right? Because of the righteousness of God, right? He made us the righteousness of God. So he gave us the right to become sons of God. And you know what? There was a little thing actually that I wrote down before during worship, which was good. You know, and I'll just read it verbatim. It says, you taking our place and taking our sin is how you made us righteous. So righteousness is how you gave us the right to become children of God or sons. So when we talk about your righteousness in a second, we're going to come into how your righteousness is why you're able to be a partaker, right? So let's start right back where we are in verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So you heard what he said, and even at the time when he was speaking to you the gospel, right, he was convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, right? So one of the things that he teaches us, right, very, very early on, is righteousness because he goes to the Father. So a lot of people just talk about it plainly as he died on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven. But that all of that forgiveness and all that you receive because of what he did, right, is because of the righteousness that you've been given, right? So when people say that you've been forgiven of your sins, okay, so if I'm forgiven, let's just talk about it for a moment, like this far, right? just an example, right? If someone does something against me and I forgive them, then they are right now in my sight, right? Because they've offended me. They've done something against me and I have forgiven them, so they're right in my sight. If I've truly forgiven them, they're right in my sight. Almost like, you know, like they never did anything. Because if it's not like that, then I haven't really forgiven them. If I'm still holding something against them, then I haven't really forgiven them. But true forgiveness is, I don't hold anything against you. It's fine. It's forgotten, right? So when the Lord says that because of what he's done, we're forgiven of our sin. And that's what most new believers understand, right? That they've been forgiven of their sins. But being forgiven of your sin, right, is righteousness. You're right in the sight of God now, right? You're right. So because you're right in the sight of God now the one thing that seldom is taught past that to people is now because of your righteousness now, you have access into the inheritance that's been given to you. Right? Understanding the inheritance that you have now as a son of God is normally where people don't get to. They major and they kind of stay on the basic elemental things of the Christian life, which is I'm forgiven, so that's why I forgive, and I'm saved, so that means I'm going to heaven. But what about all that he's given and all the things that were being prayed already this evening, right, about all of the things that he has freely given to us? Right, and Ms. Lindsay was praying how he gave us all of those things. Why? So that we would take from them, that he delights in us receiving from what he's given. But what a shame it is, right, that we get saved because we understand that we've been forgiven. We don't correlate that entirely with righteousness because maybe we don't know what righteousness is entirely, but we know we've been forgiven. And then we kind of stay there, sort of in limbo until the day, right? But it's awesome that the church is beginning to see and learn, right, what they have. In other words, your righteousness has given you the right to be a son of God. So have you been given the right to be a son of God? Now the Bible clearly says that if you are a son, then you are an heir. And an heir of God. So if we can really hone in on that tonight, right? That if we are a son, then we are an heir. If we're a son, then we're an heir. So everywhere in the Bible that it talks about your sonship, you have to correlate that with your inheritance. Everywhere in the Bible where it says you're, so even right here, Watch. So let's read it like that, right? In verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God with an inheritance that he's given now, right? He gave us the right to be sons of God with access into an inheritance. In other words, he speaks about the children of God under the law. He speaks to them as being owners of everything, yet not being able to use anything that they've been given, right? Because the law being their tutor, it was appointed a time when they would be able to receive and come into those things, right? But the Spirit of God had to be given in order for them to come into those things, right? In other words, they had to be righteous in order to be partakers of the things that they would then later be given, right? The full inheritance that we have in Him by the Spirit of God. So it's awesome to be able to know that now if we are sons. And you know the cool thing? That the Spirit of God does that so much, right? The Bible says that that the Spirit of God in us, that He testifies, right? And bears witness with our spirit so that we would always remember that we are sons of God. Why is it that He keeps wanting to remind us that we're sons? I mean, alright, so I'm a child of God, so okay, but why is that so important? Because it means that you're an heir. If you are a son, you are an heir. And if you were not a son, you could not be an heir. So you're an heir because you're a son. So every single time that the Spirit of God is reminding you that you are a son, it's so that you can see that you have a partaking. You have been given an inheritance. So let's go from here. Let's go from here into Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, 11. You know, one of the cool parts about this is the Lord was talking to us about when we were just speaking on the vineyard and the husbandmen of the vineyard, right? The Lord was teaching us something critical there, right? That it is that we were created, right, for the glory of God, right? John 15 says that my Father is glorified when we bear much fruit, right? That God the Father is glorified when we bear fruit of the Spirit of God. So you know that our salvation is to be able to for the harvest that the Lord will produce. But in order for Him to produce a harvest in our life, that's why we go through that and we say that way. We have to hear. And if we'll hear, right, and we accept, it means we hear and we believe, and we've been saying this for years, it's such an awesome thing, right? That if we hear and we believe, that then the Spirit of God, He will produce a harvest in us, right? And it is that harvest produced by the Spirit of God that glorifies our Father in heaven. And He desires that we bear much fruit, right? That we bear much fruit. But the only way to be fruitful is to hear. The only way to be fruitful is to hear, right? The only way to be fruitful is to hear. So, when we were saying that about hearing, and we were talking about how we were created to glorify Him, how the Lord came to the husbandmen and desired, right? He sent servants to receive from the fruit of the vineyard, right? To receive from the fruit of the vineyard. So it's just a cool thing to see how we have been created for the glory of God. And now watch verse number 11, just with that little thing in mind, because it touches on it in verse number 12. But verse number 11 says, in whom, speaking of Jesus also, we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance, right? We have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So it was the predestined plan of God for us, right, to have the Spirit of God and to partake of what He's given. Because the Spirit of God, there wouldn't be a reason for Him to give the Spirit of God to us if it wasn't for us to partake of what He has given. So He gave us the Spirit so we would be able to be partakers of all that is divine, all that is His. All that is divine, that we would become partakers of that, right? The Spirit has been given so that we would freely know the things, right? So we would know the things that have been freely given to us. So he says again in verse number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be, this is verse number 12, what I was telling you, that it kind of reminds you of how we were created for His glory. So he gave us His Spirit so that we would know that we have obtained an inheritance, that we should be to the praise of His glory. That we should be, we, right, our lives should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So again, what does He remind you of? He reminds you that if you believe, right, that's where the fruitfulness comes from. Look what He says again, that we should be to the praise of His glory. How? by trusting in Jesus Christ, right? By having faith in what He says, by putting our hope in Him, right? That He is, right? He is our hope of glory. By minding what it is that we have in us in Christ, right? That's how He says that we would be to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Good to remember, right? That He said that He could point to us as examples of the exceeding goodness, the kindness of God, that He could point to us, right? Verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word. And so again, it goes back to the same thing. After you heard the word of truth, it says you trusted in Him after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You trusted in Him after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And the cool thing is that gospel of your salvation, salvation is a big word, right? Salvation is your wholeness and your healing. All that you need for life and godliness, right, is in salvation. Right? In salvation. All that has been provided, salvation. All that's been provided, salvation. In whom it says, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, right? After you believed. Why? Because we believed what we heard. And that's exactly the way He teaches us to live, right? We started by faith, we live by faith. We started by the Spirit, we live by the Spirit. How did we start by the Spirit? We heard the voice of the Spirit of God, right? He convicted us of righteousness, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And still today, we live the same way. Living by hearing the Spirit of God, right? Walking. Remember what David said, right? He said, I have not tried these. I cannot walk in this, right? I can't walk in this. So what is the Lord telling us? Walk in the Spirit then. Walk, right? The same way you started, how did He defeat the lion? By the Spirit. So how do you live? How do you defeat Goliath? By the same Spirit, right? How did you get saved? By the Spirit, right? How do you confront the problems that you're dealing with today? By the same Spirit that you were saved, right? By the same Spirit that you were saved. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, right? So hearing came first, right? Then you believed, then you received the Spirit of promise. So the same way that you received the Spirit of promise, right, is the same way now that as He's in you, that same Spirit is supplied unto you, right? Paul said that even his imprisonment would work out, right, for his deliverance through the supply of the Spirit and through the prayer of the saints. So the prayer, the supply of the Spirit always comes the same way, by the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. That's how you started hearing, right? So hearing of faith is nothing more than what? Hearing and believing. That's why it's called hearing of faith, right? The hearing and believing. Hearing and believing. Hearing what He says, believing what He says. The hearing of faith. That's Galatians chapter 3, right? We're familiar with that. So verse 14 says, which is the earnest, speaking about the Spirit of promise, which is our earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory, right? So in other words, what He's saying is that until this body is redeemed, right? Until this body is redeemed, right? And basically taken and replaced with another, right? Taken and replaced with another. Until that happens, He's given us His Spirit, so that's how we partake, right? So He's given us a way to receive, right, from the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and even to affect our mortal body, because of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in our mortal body. By that same Spirit, He'll give life to our mortal body. So He gave us a way to become partakers, even though we have a flesh that's dead because of sin. Yet He says, right, He says that the Spirit of God in us is our earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, right, unto the praise of His glory, which obviously that's how we do it. That's how we glorify God, right? That's how we glorify God in this body. Right? The body by itself cannot glorify God, right? Because the body by itself, right, the flesh by itself would be sinful. But thank God, right, that He says that through the Spirit of God in us, which is the earnest of our inheritance, that's how we can glorify God in the body. Why? Because of the Spirit that's inside of the body, right? That's how we function. That's how we started. That's how we walk. So now we have a body, right? We live in a body, but we walk by the Spirit. We live in a body, but we walk by the Spirit, right? That's why the apostle says, don't think that because we live in the flesh, that we walk by the flesh, right? Don't think because I look like you, right? Like you may look like the people in the world, but you do not walk like they walk, right? That's a humongous difference. You look like them, but you don't walk like they walk. Verse number 15 says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Look at what he says in verse number 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, listen, all of this from where we started in verse number 11, it started about reminding us that we've obtained an inheritance. The entire thing is speaking about your inheritance, the whole thing. It's just telling you how it comes about. The whole thing from verse number 11 into chapter 2, right, is all speaking about your inheritance. So when we're reading verse 17, think about, right, you've obtained an inheritance, so he's teaching you how to use it. So how do you use it? So he's saying, okay, he's saying you were saved. He said that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, sorry, he says in verse 16, that he ceases not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, why does he pray for them? Why does he pray for them? Because in verse number 15, he said that he heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus, right? So why is he praying for people with faith? Right? If they have faith in Jesus, why doesn't he spend his time praying, right, for the people that don't have faith? And that's awesome, right? To be able to pray that God would send laborers across their path, right? All that is good. But why is the constant prayer for the church, right? Why? Because they have faith, right? Because they have faith in the Lord Jesus, but are they receiving through the righteousness that they now possess? He's reminding him of what? You have an inheritance, partake of it. Don't just sit in a saved and not taking from what you have. So what he's saying is, I heard that you have faith. So you know what I did? He said, I'm praying for you that you will understand that you have an inheritance and that you will take from it. And here's how you do it. That's exactly what he's saying in a nutshell right here. He's saying, I heard that you have faith in the Lord Jesus. So I want to remind you or teach you that you have obtained an inheritance and that the inheritance is in you, right? The earnest of your inheritance is in you by the Spirit of God. And here's how you partake of it. So this is his prayer for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? Because that's where the partaking begins, right? And we know that real well from Peter, right? So he says that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So are they people that see because they have faith in Jesus? Sure they do. Can they see more? Yes, they can, right? Because that's why Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word, right, that you believe. You're already clean. But your feet, right, need to be washed. You need to continue in this. You need to walk in this. What did we say walking in the Spirit was? Hearing and believing and receiving. Hearing and believing and receiving, right? Walking in the Spirit is what? Hearing, believing, and how do you receive from what you have? You hear and you believe. It goes all the way back to our hearing again, constantly, right? So he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and he already prayed that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because you have the Spirit of God, but you have to receive the wisdom from God. You know, there are people, you know, obviously, it's not that you have the Holy Spirit, and then God sends you another spirit called the Spirit of Wisdom, and then he sends you another spirit called the Spirit of Revelation, right? You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. But what happens? You have to lean not on your own understanding, but allow him in you to become your wisdom. He has to be that to you. And if he is not your wisdom, you're saved and you believe that you're forgiven and you're going to heaven, right? Right? When the Lord returns. But the thing is that they've not seen what? They've not received and made him wisdom, made him their understanding, their revelation, right? And the Lord started us on this early on, right? Years ago, just teaching us, you know what? From the basics of even just when you read your Bible, to be hearing him and knowing that the scriptures reveal him. And a little bit at a time, he kept teaching us and teaching us and teaching us to where we are now, where we know what? That he is our revelation then, and that he is to us wisdom. And that the Lord is the one that speaks to you, that shows you what you need to hear and shows you where you need to be learning. And then he can show you those things also where they are in scripture, right? But he can speak to you clear and concise things, and you can say, Lord, okay, so where is that in your scriptures? Where is that in the Bible? And he teaches you where it is, why, so that it can be taught. Right? It's important, right? It's all of it is important. Knowing where it is, right, where you can see it, and hearing what he says to you, they're all good things. But the primary first step, right, is just hearing him. So he says, so that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, right? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Look at what he says, the hope of his calling. So our hope, the hope of glory that we have is Jesus in us, right? The only reason why we can glorify the Father is because of the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of us. And he says that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what, look at, this is such an important phrase, right? And what the riches, the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Right? So that they would know. So he said, it's good. You have faith and you were saved, but you need to understand the riches of the glory of the inheritance that is in you. You need to know the riches of the glory of the inheritance that is in you. Because if you ignore that, right, and we're not taught that, the riches of the glory of the inheritance in us, then we won't know, nor will we understand that as we grow in the knowledge of Him, we partake of the things that we've been given, right? Because here's an important thing. And there's a lot of important things, and that's why I keep saying that, but righteousness, we started with, right? Righteousness. He gave us the right to become sons of God, right? So you know what he did? So how does, we mentioned something at the beginning about he gave us the right to reign. The right to reign. So what is reigning in this life? Right? Because he said if you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that we would reign in this life, right? That we would reign in this life. That we would reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So what does reigning have to do with knowing your inheritance, right? Well, here's what it is. If we are children in our understanding, or living like people that are under the law, as children of God, right? But living under a law, or as children of God not knowing what we possess, right? Children in their understanding cannot reign, right? Because a child that is given a child cannot be given a throne to reign in if he is still a child, right? So in order for us to reign, we have to receive from what we have been given, because that's how you reign, right? The way that he's made us to reign, it says that, and it'll say it in a second, that he has been seated above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named. And that the same way that he has been lifted up above everything, so we have been seated with him in heavenly places, right? Well, how do you live that way? How do you live being above everything? You don't even sense the heat. Why? Because you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and you don't feel the things that are going on. How do you live above what's going on? Right? Because if he seated us with him, right, then we are above the powers of this world. We're not entangled in the powers of this world. We're not battling against the powers of this world, right? We're seated with him above the things of this world. So why do we sometimes get caught in the things of the world, right? Because there's something that we don't know about the Lord Jesus, right, which is not enabling us to be able to partake of what he's given. Because obviously if we don't know that we have it, we can't receive it. So he says, look at what he says and how he pairs these things together. Because he's pairing ruling with your inheritance, right? Ruling with your inheritance. Because if you are an heir and you are receiving, if you receive the inheritance that you have been given, then that's your time to stand now and to reign. And you stand and you reign how? By receiving what's been given. By receiving what's been given. So look at what he says. He says in verse number 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? When you know the inheritance that you have, then you understand the exceeding greatness of his power that is usward, right, to usward who believe. Again, right, everything, he keeps bringing everything that he says back to believing, back to hearing. Back to believing, back to hearing. Back, every single thing that he says ties it all back to that, so they never forget, right? So that they know and so that we know. So he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. According to the working of his mighty power. That goes back a lot of years, right? Right? It goes back to a lot of years of the Lord teaching us to rest, right? So now if we're resting, that means that he is our wisdom, and he is the one that works, and he is the one that's working on the inside of us. And it's not we that are speaking, but it's the Father that's doing the work through us, right? Through Jesus. So he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? So all of the things that are happening, that happen in our life, happen according to his mighty power, right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, right? They're mighty in God, right? Not in us. They're mighty in him, and thank God he's in us. So he makes you mighty and he makes you strong, like we were singing today. Verse number 20 says, which he wrought in Christ, the power of God, right? He worked it in Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. And here's how he seated him. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So he ties up at the end telling them what? That Christ has been seated there. And he is the head of the church, right? And he has put all of his fullness on the inside of her, right? Because she is his body, right? The fullness of him, he deposited into her. How? By his spirit, right? That's how he told us before, that the spirit of God is the earnest of our inheritance, right? So how did the Lord Jesus give us our inheritance? How did the inheritance come to us? By his spirit, we received the fullness of our inheritance in us, right? Why do we need an inheritance, right? Why do we need an inheritance? Because we're sons. Because we're sons. And because we're sons, that makes us heirs. And because we're heirs, that means we got an inheritance. Otherwise, we'd be inheriting nothing, right? So if we're sons, we're heirs. And if we're heirs, we have an inheritance. So it's critical for the church to know that they are heirs. They are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, in case they didn't know what their inheritance was, right? The same thing that Jesus has, that's why it's joint heirs with him. The same thing that he has is what we become jointly together, right? Able to receive what he has. How far above everything is he? He's far above all principality and all power and all might and all power of this world and dominion and any name that could be named. He is above all of that, right? Let's jump into chapter 2, verse number 1, right? And so after he says all of these beautiful things about the Lord Jesus, and he tells them, okay, you have faith, know all of these things. Look at the inheritance that you have. Look at what you possess. Begin to receive. How do you receive? He said, I pray that you would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of God, right? Grace and peace are multiplied unto us in the knowledge of God. We've been given all that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, right? Everything that we have comes to us, how? By the knowledge of him, right? Which is what? Hearing, believing, and receiving. Hearing, believing, receiving. That's walking. Hearing, believing, and receiving. That's walking. Verse number 2, and it says, and you, and I love it. I don't know if it actually does it up here. No, it doesn't do it up there, but I love it. It's, and you is just capitalized, just those two words, and you. Because that's awesome to know, right? Because all of these things have been given to him, and then it says, and you, because there's no chapter separations, obviously, when this letter was being written to the Ephesians. So it's just a continuation of the thought. It says, verse number 23, let me remind you, it says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you, he has quickened, which is he made you alive. Right? You were dead in your sins. He made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, what is he reminding us right here? This is beautiful, right? You walked. In time past, you walked. Now we don't walk like that, right? We may look like the world, but we don't walk like the world. How do we walk? Hearing, believing, and receiving from the inheritance that we have in us. Look at what he says. He says, this is beautiful. He says, wherein in time past, it says, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, right? The spirit that now works in the son, in the children of disobedience, right? So there is a spirit at work in them, and thank God that spirit is not at work in you. Isn't that a cool thing? Like, that's such a nice thing to know about your separation and how you've been sanctified. There was a spirit at work in your life prior to you getting saved. The spirit of the children of disobedience was at work in your life. That spirit is no longer at work in your life. Right? Now, what's at work in your life? The spirit of the living God is at work in your life. That's an awesome thing. Not that spirit, but the spirit of the living God. You haven't received the spirit of this world, he says, but the spirit who is from God. What's the spirit of the world? The spirit that's at work in the sons of disobedience is the spirit that he's talking about. You haven't received that spirit. Thank God you haven't. You've received the spirit of it, right? That teaches us, right? The adoption that you have received. And bears witness with your spirit that you're sons. Why does he want to know that you're sons? So you know that you're an heir. Why is it important that you know that you're an heir? So that you know you have an inheritance. Why is it important for you to know that you have an inheritance? So you receive it. So you receive it, right? So you receive it. It's not tough to figure out what God has given you when you know what the inheritance is. Well, what is it? Everything that he just described that Jesus has been given and where he's seated is yours. That's an inheritance, right? What does Jesus not have? That would be the question. Not what have you been given, what does he not have? And if you can figure out what he doesn't have, you don't have that either. Right? So what does he not have? Well, he doesn't have death, because death no longer has any dominion over him. Right? He doesn't have sickness, right? He doesn't have anything that he doesn't have. That's what you don't have. Anything that he does have, you have. Why? Because you're a son. He gave you the right to become sons of God. Sons of God, my Lord, just like him. Just like him. That was his original intent that Miss Lindsay was praying about, right? We know she was praying your original intent. And your original intent is good. What was his original intent? Right? That we would be sons. That we would be sons. So what does he do? He brings us right back and adopts us and makes us sons again. Thank God, right? What an awesome plan. In verse number 3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. In other words, that's how we used to live. That was our way. That was our way in times past. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, thank God, who is rich in mercy and for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, even when we were in that condition, he quickened us, right? He hath quickened us together with Christ. He quickened us together with Christ. So Jesus received life from the dead by that Spirit. He gave us life from the dead by that same Spirit because of the same reason. Because of the same reason. For the same reason that Christ received his life is the same reason why we were given our life, in the same exact way. And he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and hath raised us up together. So now he raised him up, right? And he's talking here about how he has quickened us together with Jesus, right? So then he says he raised us up together with him, right? He raises us up together. So he says in verse number 5, even when we were dead in our sins, he says he quickened us together with Christ, together with him. And then he says, and he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? Where is he and what does he have? He gave you his Spirit so that you know what? That what he has, you have. And what he has inherited is yours to take. It's yours to take. Thank God that it's ours to take, right? We should take, right? We should receive. How do we do that? Hear, believe, receive, right? Hear and believe and receive. It's awesome that you don't have to do the receiving, right? You just have to hear and believe. You will receive. That's why that Mark 11, if we have even time, that'll be a nice place to end, right? Because it says when you pray, if you believe that you receive it, you'll have it. If you know that you have your inheritance, you'll have it. If you pray, right? If you pray and you believe that you have an inheritance, what did he say? You'll receive it, right? It'll be done for you, he said. It'll be done for you. Why is it done for you? Right? Because he is the one that produces the harvest, not us, right? He does that. It'll be done for you. And what did you do? You just understood you had it. What is he praying for them? He says, I know that you have faith in Jesus, and that's awesome. But here's what I want to know. What I want you to remember, you obtained an inheritance. You have it. And you should receive it and you should take it, right? He says, it's good, right? Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, it's awesome for people to see that and learn it. It says, and after he says that he seated us together with him, verse number 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship. Look how he ends right here. And it'll be a beautiful place for us to end, right? We started off the service talking about how we're created to show his glory, right? Look at what he says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, right? That we should walk in them, that we should walk, right? To be to the praise of his glory, that would be our walk. As we walk by the Spirit, what happens? Then we become, right, to the praise of his glory. When you walk by the Spirit of God, hearing and believing what he's saying, He produces a harvest in your life. And by this, Jesus said, my Father is glorified.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.